Blog Talk Radio.
Tiger, DJ Southeast Vince, coming at you from a place called Durham, North Carolina. And this is Black by Color only on CNM Radio. On this show, I will discuss current events and issues that affect the black race and take on the apostles of blackness. Hopefully, you'll get something from this show. And if you have a question or comment, make sure you season it well with respect, or I'll push the kick button and you will suffer the curse of the fruit bat. So don't come here being a fruit bat. Is this a fruit bat free program? You're listening to Black by Color only. Well, hello everybody out there. Hope today finds you doing well. If you would like to call into the show, call-in number is 646-478-5284. That is 646-478-5284. And you can call in and talk about anything related to the subject matter. I will give you a word of warning. Please be aware of the aforementioned fruit bat warning. If you come on here just wanting to disrupt the show or engage in gaslighting or character assassinations, ad hominem attacks, things of that sort, you know, trolling, I will push the kick button and you will go bye-bye. Okay, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. You know, we can have we're adults here and we can have an adult conversation without you coming in trying to mess up everything. Okay, so keep that in mind. Basically what I wanted to talk about today, I wanted to kind of continue what I was talking about last week. It seems some new developments have come up about the incident involving one Rachel Richardson in an incident with a volleyball team in Brigham Young University. And this young lady, she plays for the Duke volleyball team, and they were over there a couple of weeks ago to play against BYU. And this girl accused people of, she made an accusation that racial slurs were being hurled at her every time she went up to serve the ball or at different times and whatever. And she made these accusations, and a person was kicked out of the game, and they were trying to say that this was the person who was hurling the racial slurs. And they did an investigation. They performed the investigation and found out that the people that they questioned about whether, you know, this racial slur was being hurled at her turned out not to be true. Everyone that was questioned, they said, we didn't hear anything. We didn't hear anything being directed at this young lady. Her teammates said the same thing, the coaches, everyone. They said they didn't hear a thing. But it seems like the apostles of blackness are doubling down because, you know, the attitude is, well, she heard something. She ain't just going to make that up. She heard something. But apparently she didn't hear anything. Now, she has a godmother who is running for some type of office. I don't know if it's for Congress or whatever, who lives in Texas, who said she heard the racial slurs. But it's amazing that a lot of times these people, they hear things that nobody else hears, and they get into denial mode saying that we heard this when nobody else did. Now, last week I had a guy on here. He said, well, the reason why they said they didn't hear it was because they were white. And I had a, you know, I said, well, why didn't her teammates hear the racial slur? And he says, because they were white. And, I just asked him, I said, well, so you're telling me that her teammates, because they are white, because they were in Utah, they decided to say, you know what, we're not going to stand up for her. You know, she's our teammate, but we're not going to stand up for her because we're in a state known for its racism, and we're going to fall back into the racist mode. Now, Duke University is located in Durham, North Carolina, which is the city from which I am broadcasting this program from today. And if you know anything about Durham, North Carolina, you know that it is of course you got your white people. It's got a good size chunk of black people. And this is basically what you would call a woke city. And people here don't put up with any type of, they really don't put up with racism, whether it's perceived or if it's mentioned. They're not going to put up with it. So once again, the claims that, you know, the white players that were on the Duke volleyball team, they didn't speak up because they were white, that's bogus. And anyone who will mention anything like that, they're not being honest with themselves. Let's just say that. And basically what I see going on is whether claims of racism are actual or not, the apostles of blackness are going to try to keep on pushing this racist narrative, even though it doesn't exist. It largely does not exist. Now, am I saying there are no racist people in this country? There are no racist white people in this country? No, I'm not saying that. Not saying that at all. But it is so far and few and far between, I guess that's how you say it. You know, it's almost non-existent. But I'm not saying that it doesn't exist. You're not going to get rid of racism. I'm just going to tell you that right now. You're not going to get rid of racism. Racism is going to continue to exist. And you can sit there and say, oh, let's end racism all you want to. I hate to bust your bubble. I hate to burst your bubble, but racism is going to continue to exist until Jesus comes back. Now, if you want to go into denial and say we can, you know, we're going to end, it's not going to happen. And, you know, another statement that was made last week was that the United States is an inherently racist nation. My question would be to anyone who says that is, what evidence do you have that the United States is an inherently racist nation? People come up and see, like what happened last week, what usually happens is they come up with a vague response. Oh, you should see all the incidents, or, oh, you just need to look it up, or no. If you know that this country of ours that you live in, that you reside in, is an inherently racist nation, you should be able to specify why this country is racist. Because I can point out all kinds of reasons why this country is not racist. Starting at the sports, in the sports world. Black people are millionaires in the sports world, especially in football and basketball. They are millionaires. But the accusations keep coming up, even in the sports leagues, that they're racist too, even though they are paying millions of dollars to black athletes. You can go anywhere in this country. Like if you want to vacation in Miami and there's a vacancy for a hotel and you want to make a hotel reservation, I guarantee you, you will not be kicked out because you are black. I can guarantee you that. How can I guarantee you that? Because I have never had a problem with being black when I made a hotel reservation in any hotel that I've been to. Not one time. Been to Myrtle Beach, I don't know how many times, or Wilmington, Washington, D.C., been to Florida. I have never had a problem with being black and getting a hotel. But a lot of you all out there still believe that we are being held back because of our skin color. And the thing that frustrates me the most about it is these people, you get these black reporters and quote-unquote journalists, pseudo-journalists, I might add. They get up there and they start talking, yeah, black people are afraid of the police and black people are afraid to go out and black people this and black. And I'm like, which black people are you talking about? Because I'm not afraid to go out. I'm not afraid of the police. I'm not afraid of being profiled. So which black people are you talking about? So my statement to them would be, speak for yourselves. You don't speak for everyone. Maybe that happened to you, but that doesn't happen to all of us. So don't come up with this thing, oh, we black people, we're scared. We're just scared. We're scared. We're scared. No, 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 no. And some of you all who make that statement, you're not scared of anything. You just want to make a false accusation to keep pushing that narrative, keep perpetuating that narrative of victimhood so you can gain some kind of advantage, whether it be monetarily or publicly or whatever. That's all you care about. But they get up there and say, we black people, we're tired of this. Tired of what? One thing I'm tired of is you putting me into the ranks of scared black people. I'm not scared of the police. You know why? Because I'm not going to break the law. And if I do, I'm going to own up to it. I'm not going to sit there and fuss with the police officer or whoever. If I break the law, I break the law. I'm not going to sit there and make a fuss. But too many of us, we have this thing of, oh, the police, they're out to get us. LeBron James talking about we're hunted down every time we step outside and all that crazy mess. If that were the case, he'd be one of the first ones to go to prison because we all know who LeBron James is. But the reason why Ms. Richardson would come up with this story that someone said something against her racially, because number one, she knows that she's going to get an audience. Somebody's going to listen because we're so sensitive about racism in this country, especially when it occurs against black people. And second of all, it continues to push that narrative of victimhood, and she feels like she might get some benefit out of it. She could be a new activist. Oh, this is still going on. Oh, we black people. No, don't say we black people. But the investigators, they looked into this thing. They searched, you know, they played the match over and over again. And they were trying to see any evidence of a racial slur being hurled at this young girl. They didn't find any. Of course, the apostles of blackness be like, oh, y'all found it, but y'all just didn't want to listen. Okay, I tell you what. If they didn't want to listen, why don't you get a recording of the match and play it back yourself? Oh, they probably erased the racial slurs being said. And see, with you all, you can't win. You can't win with these people. Here are the facts. No one hurled a racial slur at this girl. And no one took the time out to say, okay, y'all, let's edit out the, you know, the part where the racial slur was hurled at her and everything. Let's do that. Now, Durham needs to stop doing this, you know, because, you know, this is another racial incident involving Duke University students. Of course, we remember back in 2007 with the whole Crystal Mangum thing. Where this black girl from North Carolina Central University, which is a school I'm familiar with because I used to attend there, this girl, she made a false accusation against the Duke lacrosse team, most of who are white members, and she made a false accusation. Now the cry went up like this now because she's black. She's going to be treated different than if she were white. If she were a white girl, if she were a white girl and the people who had raped her were black, they would have all gone to jail. But nobody could come up with a good example of when that happens. But found out when they did a DNA test, they said they found several different DNA of different people, but none of them match the Duke lacrosse players. Now, that tells you something about Miss Mangum. I'm not going to go there. I'll just leave that to your imagination. But there were people saying, well, if it isn't true, they should still prosecute these boys because if they had been black and they had raped a white girl, they would be in prison right now. And nobody has any evidence where that has happened anywhere within the last 50 years. And I said, you know what, if Duke University, which is in Durham, North Carolina, continues this, they may change the name of Durham from City of Medicine to Bastion of Racial Hoaxes. And folks, when are we going to open our eyes to this stuff and stop reacting every time we hear a story like this? Every time we hear a story like this, we jump, oh, that was racist. Oh, that was racist. Oh, instead of saying, hey, okay, I hear it, but let's step back, take a couple of breaths, and let's look at the evidence. But we're so eager to jump onto that racial bandwagon, we forget about the evidence. We throw down a race card, and we take advantage of our status of victimhood. I past couple of days, I've been listening to an audiobook and talks about several incidents involving the police and black people over the past several years. The name of the book is called I Can't Breathe. How a racial hoax is killing America, written by someone named David Horowitz. And it goes into detail about certain racial incidents that happened in this country. It talks about Tamir Rice and Trayvon Martin, Michael Brown, some other incidents I didn't even hear about. Walter Scott, you know, things like that. And it goes into detail. And one thing I notice about these incidents is, well, one thing is whether the police were guilty or not of committing a racial act, the families of these people were still rewarded multi-million dollar settlements. Almost every case, the families were rewarded with million-dollar settlements. They mentioned two names that shouldn't even be on the list, Sandra Bland and Corinne Gaines. Sandra Bland, I forget where her incident happened, but Sandra Bland was pulled over because she changed lanes without using her turn signal, and the police caught her, and she wanted to come up and make a fuss and yada, 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 and all this and everything. She ends up in jail, and she ends up killing herself. But someone made the statement that, no, she didn't kill herself. The police killed her, and they made up the story that she killed herself. They even went so far to say that when Sandra Bland took her mugshot, she was already dead. And Sandra Bland took a garbage bag that was in a trash can in her cell, and she hanged herself. Now, some people are saying, well, why does she have a trash can in her cell if they didn't want her? Oh, so they said, hey, yeah, let's put this black girl in here, and let's have a trash can in here with a trash bag. Perhaps she will use that trash bag to hang herself. And I'm like, you all are really overreaching when you say this stuff. Another person on this list, well, it's basically three people on here that shouldn't be on this list, is, and Black Lives Matter has turned these people into martyrs. Breonna Taylor, Corinne Gaines, and Sandra Bland. Now, Corinne Gaines, now, if anybody think that girl was murdered by the police, you are absolutely out of your mind. And this is revealing of people who make these claims of racism. Corinne Gaines was crazy out of her head. I watched when the police pulled her over. She left the car lot without any license tags on. They pulled her over, and she's sitting there talking about she's some kind of citizen or something like that, and she needs to see some type of a delegation of authority. The police showed her their, you know, who they were, and nah, that's not no delegation authority. Corinne Gaines was crazy. Now, she was supposed to go to court for a traffic violation, and she didn't show up to court, so they sent the police to her place. Homegirl armed herself with a shotgun. I even saw the video of her loading shells into the shotgun. And they had a six-hour standoff. And from what I gather, she fired at the police a couple of times. The police gave her a wide berth. They gave her enough time to, you know, to calm down or whatever and stuff like that. But she took her five-year-old son and used him as a shield. And when the police finally broke in, she had the shotgun. Her five-year-old child was grazed by the bullets from the police, but Corinne Gaines herself ended up getting killed. And her family's like, well, they could have called us. We could have done something. Why did y'all call us? Because as crazy as that girl was, she probably wouldn't even listen to her family. And you know, they later awarded her family a 37.6 million dollar settlement. Just look up Corrine Gaines and look at the situations. She was not killed because she was black. Breonna Taylor was not killed because she was black. Breonna Taylor was not sleeping when she was killed. The police did not sneak up and look in the window and say, there's a black girl right there. Hey, I got an idea. Let's shoot and kill her. Breonna Taylor kept bad company. She had a boyfriend she was still dealing with who was dealing in drugs. And people say, well, when the police showed up at her house, her name wasn't on the warrant. Yes, it was. And it wasn't mistaken identity either. Oh, Breonna Taylor, she was an EMT worker. Breonna Taylor hadn't worked for the EMTs in 4 years. You know why? Because she was transporting a body in her vehicle, a dead body, which could have been a murder victim, and she got fired as a result. So she hadn't worked for EMT for 4 years. And they said she was murdered. She was not murdered. Neither was Sandra Bland. And neither was Corrine Gaines. Neither was Michael Brown. Now, there's debate about, you know, Trayvon Martin, about what happened to him, but his encounter didn't occur with police. It happened with a volunteer watchman, neighborhood watchman. But most of these incidents, most of these people that are martyred by Black Lives Matter, they'd still be alive today if they hadn't resisted the police or hadn't been in the wrong place at the wrong time. They'd still be alive today. Including St. George Floyd. Now, as horrible as that image of Derek Chauvin's knee and George Floyd's neck was, that is not what killed George Floyd. George Floyd had a fatal amount of fentanyl in his system. Now, do I agree with Derek Chauvin, what he did? No, I don't. But that's not what killed George Floyd. George Floyd had mentioned, I think, about 20 times before he died that he couldn't breathe. And this was before the knee came on his neck. I can't breathe. I can't breathe. I watched the video. The man was sitting in the back of the police car talking about he couldn't breathe. Nobody was on his neck then. Same thing with Eric Garner. Eric Garner is another one. He's on the streets of New York in an incident that was being overlooked by a black police woman. And they put him in some kind of a chokehold, which really wasn't a chokehold. But even after they had tackled him to the ground and released their hold on him, he was still saying, I can't breathe. Which means Eric Garner was still alive after the chokehold. See, we don't look into these little details. We always want to jump on, oh, it was racist. Oh, they killed him because he was black. Oh, you know, if it was a white person, they would have dealt with it better. They would have dealt with it a different way. No. You're not going to sit there and tell me that these people were killed simply because they were black. I listen to these people, and I listen to them, and I listen to them, and I'm like, you all, first of all, you need to dial it back or something. Because, see, all you're going to do, all you're doing is reacting to a story. You're not you're not allowing the chemical reaction in your brain to allow you to think, to say, hey, I hear the story, but let me see the evidence. In 2016, after the deaths of Philando Castile and Alton Sterling, I posted on my Facebook page, I said, you know what, I'm going to wait till the evidence comes out, and I got excoriated. Well, you know, if they were white, they would have done it. No, I don't know that. I said, I'm going to wait for the evidence to come out. Oh, you think they would have done this to a white person? No, I don't think they would have. No. Oh, you know, they treat us different. They treat us different. You know, and see, we're at the point, too, if we get pulled over by a police officer and he acts kind of rough with us and everything, and, you know, we sit there and say, oh, it's because I'm black. That's why he talks so rough with me, because I was black. I just got pulled over, and the police officer, he's looking at me. He's got fire in his eyes, and he's breathing fire, smoke coming out his nose, and he's looking at me, you know, and you know, he just looks like he's just waiting for me to do something so he could kill another black person. As if it, when he pulls over a white person, he's like, oh, you're white? Hey, come here. Let's have some tea and crumpets. Let's have some milk and cookies. I'm going to treat you with kid gloves because you one of my white brothers. As if white people don't get mean police officers they have to deal with themselves. And I keep bringing up, you know, two cases, Daniel Shavers and Tony Tempa. But people keep ignoring it. They keep ignoring it. Not one person have I explained the story of Tony Tempa to, had they sit there and said, really? That really happened? They're like, oh, well, okay, well. Tony Tempa, he died in a similar fashion as George Floyd. So don't tell me that it doesn't happen to white people too. Because Tony Tempa had a knee on his neck for around 14 minutes. And not only that, Tony Tempa had called the police because he had forgotten to take his psycho, whatever they call them, drugs. And the police subdued him with a knee on his neck for 14 minutes. And not after that, when he lost consciousness, the police were sitting there making fun of the rascal. And you know what happened when these police officers went to court, when they went to trial? Every last one of them were acquitted. So don't sit there and tell me the garbage that this does not happen to white people. Daniel Shavers in a hotel on his hands and knees. The police are telling him, you know, get your hands up, something like that. I saw this video too. It was horrific. Daniel Shavers looked like he was reaching in to pull out a weapon or something, and the police shot him dead. Guess what? Daniel Shavers was a white person. So don't sit there and tell me it doesn't happen to white people. Every year the stats come out. They show more unarmed white people are killed by the police than unarmed black people. But we think, we have this thinking that, okay, the door to racism only swings one way and only swings to black people. If it happens to white people, oh, well, I don't know why it happened, but, you know, black people. And you can show these people the evidence. You can share these stories with them, and it still goes over their heads because they are programmed to think a certain way, and they are programmed to think that only black people have a negative ending with the police, not white people, because they treat white people different. You got black people that say, you know, they were going 15 miles an hour above the speed limit, and they know they were. Get pulled over by the police, get a ticket. Oh, he did that because I was black. No, he did that because you were a moron that did not realize the speed limit. You went over the speed limit. The red and blue caught up with you. Woo! Pulled you over, said, hey, you know how fast you were going? Yeah, officer, yeah, whatever. Okay, well then, you're going to have to pay this ticket. Pay a ticket? But why? Because you were going 15 miles an hour above the speed limit, moron. Just like I heard this comedian say, he was a black police officer. He said, the speed limit says 45. It doesn't say go 45 and take two more if you're in a hurry. It says 45 miles an hour. It doesn't say speed limit 45 and have a face at the bottom with a little winky, little winky eye. So if you break the law, you're going to have to pay the price. And my thoughts, and I've said this on this program before, my thought is that people who are black and they're caught up in this, you know, black victimhood, they think they should never have to face consequences for a crime, whether it be speeding, whether it be robbery, or whether it be murder. They would be happy. They wouldn't care if a black person came in and killed a family of 12 people. And they said, oh, okay, we'll just overlook this. They'll be like, yeah, all right. Yeah, he did. He beat the system. That's what happened with the O.J. Simpson thing. I'm not completely convinced that O.J. Simpson murdered his ex-wife and her companion, but I'm leaning to the side of thinking that he did. And I'm going to tell you why. Because one of the jurors, some years later, after that verdict, she said the reason why we didn't give O.J. Simpson a guilty verdict was for revenge of what happened to Rodney King. Black lady. Because she felt like she got justice for Rodney King. Now, you talk to your average black person, they'll say, oh, O.J. was guilty. He did that. He did that. But they don't want to say that he should have gone to jail because, you know, O.J. beat the system. That's right. O.J. beat the system. Yeah. That's what a lot of the members of the Apostles of Blackness hope can happen to all black people, that they just beat the system. Ah, he murdered those people. Ah, let them off. Because, you know, we black people, we've been oppressed for so long in this country. We shouldn't be held accountable for anything we do wrong because, you know, we were slaves and then, you know, we were victims in the civil rights movement and all that. I tell you, and it's frustrating too because it's like people are not listening. They just don't want to. They don't want to hear the evidence. They want to believe what they want to believe, not because they have to believe it, but because that's just what they want to believe. We black people have had it bad. And look, like I said earlier, look, dude, speak for yourself. Don't sit there and you're probably making 100 times more than what I make. And you sitting there talking about black people are being oppressed. Are you serious? You're making millions of dollars. You're making millions of dollars, which is a lot more than what I make. And you're going to sit there and gripe and moan about white supremacy? And you're living in a mansion. You're living in a nice neighborhood. You're driving nice cars. And you want to sit there and talk about white privilege? White privilege. And you're living better than most white people in this country are. You're one of those NFL superstars. I don't know. Let me pick out one. I don't know. I don't watch much of NFL anymore because they done gone woke. But let's say Patrick Mahomes. I don't know how much Patrick Mahomes makes a year, but I heard that he has a contract for $100 million. I don't know how much that is a year. $100 million? How many white people do you know makes $100 million during a certain course of life? But you want to talk about white privilege. Oh, well, just because they're not making $100 million, that doesn't mean they just don't know that they have the privilege. Man, shut up. Just shut up. Just stop talking. Really, just stop talking. Go find the nearest lake and soak your head. Stick your head in there. LeBron James making more money than most of your typical white people make in this country. But he wants to go out and say, oh, every time we step outside, we're being hunted down. Shoot, the only thing he gets hunted down for is his autograph. Don't give me this garbage. And that's all that this Rachel Richardson is trying to do. She's trying to get her piece of the racial pie. Because she knows that if she makes an accusation of racism, people will listen. I don't know if you all know who Dawn Staley is. Dawn Staley, she played in the WNBA, and she was a standout player at the University of Virginia back in the 90s. She coaches a team in South Carolina now. And she said she looked into the incident at BYU, and she came to the conclusion that because of that incident, that she was going to cancel the game her team was going to have against BYU in the future. Because she came to the conclusion that she did not want to subject her players to what Ms. Richardson went through. Even though there is no evidence, absolutely zero, not even a grain of evidence, that what Ms. Richardson said happened actually happened. This is the stupidity that runs rampant among the apostles of blackness. Even if the evidence is not there, they still think it's there. And I'm sitting here listening to Miss Staley. I'm sitting there like, you got to be kidding me. You have actually got to be kidding me. No evidence at all. But she came to the conclusion. She did her own investigation, I guess, and came to the conclusion that she didn't want her girls subjected to the same amount of embarrassment and pain that Ms. Richardson was subjected to. So we're not going to play against BYU. This is stupidity at its finest. Even though the evidence isn't there, because the accusation is there, the accusation is all the evidence the apostles of blackness need. You can just make the accusation. It's like, oh, there you go. That's enough evidence for me. Instead of realizing that an accusation is just an accusation until the evidence comes out to confirm or deny the accusation. They just take it at face value. And then when people like myself start talking about this, we are called coons and sellouts, Uncle Toms and Uncle Ruckuses and Oreos and trying to be white and Mr. Step It and Fetch It. I like that name, Mr. Step It and Fetch It. I like that one. Someone called me that some years ago. Said, hey, Mr. Step It and Fetch It. I'm like, that's good. That's a good one. These people are morons. And I don't like to just use that word just willy-nilly or anything like that. I don't like to use the word stupid just willy-nilly, but these people are stupid morons. And don't realize that they are actually taking advantage of the opportunities that have been presented to them, and they have met with some level of success, but they still want to sit here and moan and cry and whine about white racism in this country. And then they make stupid statements like the United States is an inherently racist country. Then why do you live here if it is so racist? You're not being held in these borders by barbed wire and security guards or anything. Like, you can go to any country you want to. If they'll accept you, you go on over there. Go on to a country where you think you'll be better off. Go to China. Go to any of your Middle Eastern countries. Tell me how well they'll accept you over there. Go to some of these African countries. You black people that talk about, I was stolen from my land in Africa. Okay, well then why don't you go back to Africa and see how well you are treated? That ship land on the shore and you see the black people, you be like, oh, my black brothers and sisters, man, them black people probably roll their eyes at you. Look at this guy. What is he talking about? He's not my brother. You're from America, aren't you? You're made of plastic. Don't come here with your rhetoric. Don't come here. Go on, why don't you go back to America? That night at the dinner table, they'll probably sit there and talk about you. Hey, this guy comes from America, talking about I'm your brother. They probably sit there and laugh at you. Won't you go there? See how well it is. See how well it goes for you. You want to talk about how racist the United States is? Shoot, I love this country. I love being an American. People tell me, I had someone tell me, say, you should find out where you really come from and what your name really is. I said, look, let me tell you something. My name is Vincent Edward Brown. I'm born on October the 16th, 1968, in a place called Roanoke, Virginia. My dad's name was Donald Lee Brown. My mama's name was Barbara Faye Brown. Formerly Barbara Faye Raleigh, presently Barbara Faye Johnson. My name is Vincent Brown, and I will always say my name is Vincent Brown. You know why I say my name is Vincent Brown? Because I love my name. And I love this country. Now, if you want to change your name, you go right ahead. That's your prerogative. But don't sit here and tell me you need to find out where you're from and what your real name is, because I already know that. So, and me going back to Africa, look, like I said, you call yourself black, you going back to Africa talking about you returning to the homeland, them rascals will laugh at you. Don't give me that garbage. And now, my wife and I, we were watching a video this morning. It's a guy on YouTube called Black Conservative Perspective. And he was talking about the upcoming Little Mermaid movie. And the Little Mermaid is supposed to be played by a black actress. And I'm sitting there like, oh boy, here we go again. And of course you all know who produces the Little Mermaid. That's Disney. Disney is another entity that I have that I refuse to deal with anymore because they have gone woke. And almost every last one of their movies has pretty much been woke with the exception of The Lion King. Their live movies, we watched Beauty and the Beast, the live version, that was woke. I think Aladdin was woke. It seems like all of their live action movies lately have been woke. And The Little Mermaid looks like it's going to be the same thing, too. If anything that Disney is churning out right now continues on its present course, everything they're going to produce is woke. I don't know if y'all seen the She-Hulk series on Disney Plus, woke. They try to feminize the men and masculate the women. Now, don't get me wrong. When I was growing up, I used to love reading comic books with the She-Hulk in it, but it wasn't that woke junk in it. Like, I can do what you can do. She-Hulk was just a female superhero. But now we got to put the woke elements in there. In the comic books, She-Hulk was not stronger than the Hulk. But we's woke now. Got to change things around. We got to turn everything upside down in this cisgendered, white conservative world that we live in now. And folks, let me tell you something. Me instituting a personal ban on the NFL and Disney and all that. It's not something I do with a lot of joy, so to speak. If you know, can't find the right words to say. It's not something I do with like Yahoo. You know, I love Disney, love the animation, and Lord knows anybody knows me. My wife can tell you. Every year about this time, I'm looking forward to the football season. But you know what? Football season started this past Thursday. I forgot totally about it. You know why? Because I don't care about the NFL anymore because they are now woke. A friend of mine called me and told me about the first game between the Buffalo Bills and the Los Angeles Rams or wherever they are now. And I wanted to tell them, I don't care about football anymore. They want to go woke? I don't care. I was a diehard Miami Dolphins fan. Anybody tell you? Diehard Miami Dolphins fan. I don't give a rip pair of jeans about that stuff now. I still got my Miami Dolphins paraphernalia because I think it would be stupid for me to, you know, do like what people did during the Colin Kaepernick debacle. They took all their Nike stuff and burned it. I said, now, see, you just wasted your money right there. Now, I was thinking about taking that Miami Dolphins stuff and selling it on eBay, but my wife said, nah, honey, nah, don't do that. And I'm like, yes, dear. So I still got my Miami Dolphins stuff and everything. And I guess you could say I'm still a Miami Dolphins fan at heart, but because the NFL wants to act like a bunch of moonbats, no. You're not going... I even bought a video game for my PlayStation 4 without realizing, you know, bought the video game, and they still got that Black Lives Matter stuff on the video game. The end racism in the end zone, end racism, it takes all of us. I don't want to see that garbage when I watch when I watch a football game. I don't want to see that garbage when I'm playing a video game. I'm trying to be entertained here. I do not want to see that garbage. If you want to go all political, do that outside the realm of the video game or the stadium or whatever. Don't bring that stuff in here. Well, you got to take sides. I don't want to take sides. I want to watch a good game. It was hard for me to give up the football, basketball, and baseball. That was easy, because I was basketball and baseball were falling out of favor with me anyway, especially baseball. But basketball was falling out of favor with me because it's a different game than what we saw in the '50s, the '60s, the '70s. Well, of course, I wasn't alive in the '50s and most of the '60s. But the '70s and the '80s and part of the '90s, oh my goodness, the NBA was the bee's knees. But now, I don't get caught up in that mess anymore. Because you want to go woke, like they say, go woke, go broke. And you know what? The thing about it is, companies like Disney, they're losing money. They lost their stock prices. They still digging their heels in. It's like, if you don't want to come back to us because we're woke, okay, well then. NFL, the same thing. They don't show no signs of turning back. Hey, we understand that, we may have offended some of you all who like our brand and we started going political. Well, we're going to stop doing that. So, because we want you, we care about what, we care about you. So, they're not doing that. No, they're digging their heels in and they're not going to change. They're not going to change. But that just tells me that certain people in certain areas, they really do not care about their fans. They don't care about their citizens. They don't give a rip pair of jeans about you. All they care about is that money and them votes. That's all they care about. But anyway, that's the end of the first hour. Let me go into my advertisements. When I am done, I will see you on the other side. You're listening to Black by Color Only on CNM Radio.
Why don't you try rooting for your own damn country for a change?
Confessions of a Potentially Perfect Parent, brought to you by AdoptUsKids.org.
I don't know how to talk like a parent. Don't make me come back there. You see what I mean? It's pretty awful. Try it again. Don't make me come back there. Now that's pretty good. That one kind of sounded like my dad. Weird.
You don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. There are thousands of teens in foster care who would love to put up with you. Call 1-888-200-4005 or visit AdoptUsKids.org for more information. A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt Us Kids, and the Ad Council.
Nurse, set up an IV. And you, her boyfriend. You were the driver?
Yes, doctor, but I didn't mean to hurt her. I only had a few drinks. I was just buzzed.
Just buzzed? Oh. Then your girlfriend is fine.
Hey, sweetie. I feel great.
She's really okay?
What, are you kidding? No. Not really. Nurse, get me a suture kit. Stat.
Buzzed driving. Maybe we should stop acting like it's no big deal. Buzzed driving is drunk driving. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Transportation and the Ad Council.
All right. Welcome back to the show. If you would like to be a guest to call in to the show, the call-in number is 646-478-5284. That's 646-478-5284. And I wanted to continue a point that I began before the end of the first hour about this Little Mermaid, this black Little Mermaid. And, I want to bring up the subject of whitewashing because The thing that ticks me off is that they're making the Little Mermaid. They're portraying her as a black character. When the Little Mermaid, The Little Mermaid was originally in a book by Hans Christian Andersen, and the Little Mermaid was always white. Now we're supposed to celebrate the Little Mermaid because she's black. Now, a lot of people aren't too happy about that. And yet they are largely white. And people want to say that white people complaining about the Little Mermaid being black, that shows their racism. Now, just like the host of the video I mentioned earlier, Black Conservative Perspective, he said he doesn't like race flipping. Like, if a character has been one race for so long, why are you going to flip them to another race? Now, growing up, reading comic books, Nick Fury was always a white man with the eye patch. Always a white man. Now, in the Avengers movies, he's a black man. Now, I'm going to be honest with you. Let me just be straight up and honest with you. I think Samuel L. Jackson did one heck of a performance as Nick Fury. I don't think any actor could have played Nick Fury better than Samuel L. Jackson. But why flip his color from white to black? Now, we're supposed to celebrate that. But if a supposed black character is switched over to white, we call it whitewashing. Or, you know, if it's an Oriental person that's being played by a white person, we call it whitewashing. We have a problem with that. We say, oh, that's just racist. That person was originally a black person. That was originally a person of color. But now you got them playing, being portrayed by a white man. That's racist. Okay, so is that racist to portray a traditional white character as a black character? See, people, one thing that I've come to understand is that the door of racism swings both ways. When it was rumored that they were trying to make Idris Elba, the black British guy that the ladies are all gaga over, when it was rumored that they were going to make him the new face of 007, and the white folks came against it, there were cries of racism. James Bond is a white guy. Why are you going to change him to a black guy? He's always been white. Now, if it had been the other way around, we'd be calling it racist. He's been black. Like Black Panther. I'll give you a good example. Black Panther. Not a movie that I liked or anything like that, but Black Panther has always been black. And I would not have been too happy if they switched Black Panther and made him white. Black Panther has always been black. Why switch races anyway? Now, I can understand switching actors. I can understand that as long as they're the same race. But switching the races of these characters that have been traditionally one race or another. But the hypocrisy is when a traditional white character is now portrayed by a black person. Oh, we got to celebrate that. Oh, more diversity, more diversity. But if a black character, a traditional black character, is portrayed as a white person, it's racist. There's a hypocrisy right there. Now, if you are mad at a black character being portrayed as a white person, you should be just as mad when it's vice versa. when a white character is portrayed as a black person. Now, me, I don't give a flying flip of ripped jeans. Who plays what? One of my favorite movies, I was telling my wife this morning, one of my favorite movies, Raiders of the Lost Ark. Not one black person in that movie. Another movie, Jaws. Not one black person in that movie. Well, they did have a black kid on a float at the beach, but that was only for a couple of seconds. But still, it wasn't because that black kid was in that movie why I liked Jaws. Jaws was a white movie. One of my favorite movies of all time. The original Star Wars, one of my favorite movies of all time. Not one black person in that movie. Well, except for the voice of James Earl Jones as Darth Vader. But Darth Vader was played by a white person. I don't give a rip pair of jeans who plays what in what movie, as long as the movie is of good quality. I don't care. And the cry goes out that, oh, we need to have more black characters in these movies because it'll help the self-esteem of our kids. Excuse me? Hello? I don't care. I don't care if I see a lot of black people in a movie. You think my self-esteem is dependent on how many black people are in a movie? Are you outside of your freaking mind? They need to see more, and we need more diversity. You know what diversity means, right? You know what it means. Now, supposedly, it means we're supposed to have people of different cultures in a movie and boom, boom, boom. Nothing wrong with that. No, what diversity means is less white people. We need less white people in here. Because if you have a movie that has mostly black people in it, you're not going to hear, oh, we need more diversity. Did you hear that when Black Panther came out a few years ago? Nope. Of course, Black Panther had a few white characters in it, but it was a mostly black movie. You didn't hear anyone say, oh, we need more white people in here. There's too many black people in this movie. And Hollywood is so hypocritical. Back in 2014, the movie that won Best Picture was 12 Years a Slave. And people will celebrate, oh, 12 Years a Slave, oh, one best picture, oh, yes, 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 yes. The next year, not one movie with a black person in it got nominated for the Academy Award, and they started crying racism. What are you crying racism for? Just the year before, you had a movie with a substantial black cast in it win Best Picture. And Will Smith and his wife, they up there, oh, I'm going to, you know, Oscar so white. And then you had the Jesse Jacksons and the Al Sharptons. This is an outrage. Y'all didn't nominate one movie with a black person in it. See, this is how these black activists get their money. They'll go out there, they make these accusations, they threaten lawsuits. And instead of going through with the lawsuits, the accused would rather settle and say, okay, you know, we'll just, you know. I think I forgot where I read it, but they say every year Toyota gives Jesse Jackson $700,000. $700,000. And someone asked him, why do you give Jesse Jackson $700,000? That's just the cost of business. That's just the cost of doing business. Because they don't want Jesse Jackson coming to their company and talking about, hey, we're all the white people. I'm going to sue you because you don't have enough black people in here. Where the black people at? Where they at? And so they fork them over $700,000 every year. And they say that's just the cost of doing business. I'll give him a cost of business. I'll tell him, turn around, and I'll put my business end up his rear end. That's my cost of doing business. You get your tail up out of here. But that's $700,000 a year they give to Jesse Jackson because they don't want to be sued by his, what is it, Rainbow Coalition or whatever it is. And they say that's the cost of doing business. I said, y'all got to be kidding me. And then these rascals go out here and talk about helping the poor and all that and everything. These rascals don't care about the poor. These civil rights leaders you see out here, they don't care about the poor. But whenever you hear about diversity in a movie or any given place, it's basically a code word for less white people. We want to see less white people because if they play a movie that has a majority of black people, you won't hear the cries of diversity then. People are up in arms about this new series on Amazon called Rings of Power. It's supposed to be an offshoot of The Lord of the Rings. And now, those of you all who've seen the original Lord of the Rings trilogy, it's not one black person in there. I know, I got the series. It's not one black person in that movie. But Rings of Power is interspersed with black people. And once again, the cry went up, why you got all these black people in here? Because this comes from an age where there weren't black people in these European countries. And someone made a counter argument, well, there were no dragons in those countries either. And now, you know, people are like, hey, look, just leave Lord of the Rings alone. If they were white, they were white. Okay, it's a majority white, you know. Look. If you have a problem with it, won't you go and make your own movie, okay? Don't come here telling us we need to diversify and all that crazy mess. If we want to use only white people in our movie, then that's fine. They were making an argument against the new Little Mermaid movie, you know, having a black cast member as the mermaid, as Ariel. And found out that there was an African author. He wrote a book about a mermaid. It was a fictional book about a mermaid. And the person said, well, why don't you all go and get the movie rights from that story and make your own story instead of trying to change Ariel from a white girl to a black girl? I said, that makes sense. But people don't want to think of it like that. And I don't think this movie's going to be good. I really don't. Disney's live action movies have not been good. I think the only one that I actually liked was Peach Dragon. That was the only one I liked. But their live action movies have not been good. Lion King, Beauty and the Beast, Aladdin, their Buzz Lightyear animated movie that just came out this year, that wasn't good. Now I'm just going by what I've heard, and I believe it because you know Disney has gone woke. They have sacrificed quality in order to go broke, in order to go woke. Excuse me. They sacrifice quality for wokeness. They're so concerned about going woke that they've forgotten. They've forgotten to give a good story, which has been traditional Disney. But now Disney, they don't care. Well, we gotta show the black people we love them. We gotta show the LGBTQIA XYZ LMNOP that we care about them. And by them going woke, they have destroyed the quality of their products. And just like they said, just like they say today, go woke, go broke. That's how. If y'all hear anything, if y'all hear anything in the background, I'm in another room, and so you might be hearing some background noise. That's my wife in the background. But I'm wondering if the fruit bats want to go broke. My fruit bat signal, that means I'm about to go to the phones. Now, if you're a person and you just want to come on this show to cause trouble, that includes trolling, excessive profanity, ad hominem attacks, character assassinations, random insults, things of that sort. If you think you can use those methods to get your point across, I'm going to tell you right now, you best hang up or I will be happy to oblige you. Okay. Like I said at the beginning of the program, I don't care if you agree with me or disagree with me. Just be agreeable in your discussion on this program. Having said that, let me go to this caller. Hello, caller. Welcome to the show.
Oh, man, I got to get me a recording of that music, man. I tell you, that call to arms to the fruit bats. That is where it's at. But you know, you had some real good comments today, Vincent, especially about them soccer players. I mean, those volleyball players, man. They always try to pull that stuff. They've been emboldened by that damn Maxine Waters. That's what it is.
Yeah.
And you know, that list, I guess they have some list of pictures about people who supposed to have been done wrong. That's a bunch of bull crap.
Yeah.
You know, what's a Sandra Bland bail was how much? $500. And all the people that came out and complained about her, you mean to tell me they couldn't come up with $500 to get out of jail? That just goes to show you. Yeah, that just goes to show you. And you talk about the other incident, like that Wright kid up there in Minneapolis. That young man had done so much wrong. You know, they went to a party, and they stayed where it's, about 2 o'clock or so. They couldn't get a ride home, couldn't get no cab. So the women let them stay there at the apartment and sleep it over. Then they wake up the next morning, okay. Then one woman goes to the ATM to get money for the rent and leaves it with the other lady, and then she goes off to work. Then them two, including Wright, Deontay Wright, try to rob her. Can you imagine that?
Mm-hmm.
And he had all kinds of assorted crime. His best friend, he shot him in the head and left him in the wheelchair for life.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, now that was before the incident where the police pulled the gun instead of the taser accidentally.
Mm-hmm.
And at that point in time, he was driving his mama's car. You know he was mixed. His mama was white. Daddy was black. He's a mulatto.
Exactly. Yep.
You know that he was driving his mama's car. The license tags was expired. Then he's driving along the street, and he's over in the far center lane against the yellow line. He's going to make a right turn across two lanes of traffic, and the police see him, and he don't like that. He's got privilege.
Yeah.
So when he got pulled over, they asked him to get out of the car. He got out of the car and walked to the back by the driver's side rear fender, and he stood there like he was going to cooperate. But when the one lady went back, one female cop went back to do the call in, he realized, oh, shit, I'm driving mama's car, license plates, my driver's license, I'm going to warrant. Ain't that something else, man? Then when he...
Yep.
Accidentally gets shot, he takes off and has an accident.
Yeah.
It dies. I don't understand it. I really don't.
The police officer, I really don't think she committed a criminal act. I think her being fired from the police force was enough punishment. But for mm-hmm. her to have to spend time in jail for that, I don't agree with that at all. Because, you know, any of us could have made the same mistake. Any of us could have. And she didn't do anything maliciously. She just picked up. And see, I heard people say, well, you know, she should have been able to distinguish between the weight of a gun and a taser. When you're making split-second decisions, your brain doesn't say, hey, wait a minute, this thing's heavier than this. And, you know, she said, look, taser, taser, taser. And Wright kept doing his stuff. And so she when she shot him, she was like, oh, my goodness, I shot him with my guns. Right then and there, that right there, her reaction right there should have been enough to say, you know what, she did not mean to do this. This was not criminal. Yeah, we'll fire her from the police force, but she didn't do anything criminal.
Well, you're right. And see, here's the thing. I tagged you over to an incident in Atlanta where this guy was in his girlfriend's car or somebody's car, wouldn't get out, had a gun in there, police all around him.
Yeah.
And then he jumps out and run. Well, the police, guess what? The police didn't even run after him. The one cop said, let him run. So he comes back with a gun and charges up on the police, and the police didn't shoot him. Mm. He bags off. He runs off and comes back. Well, about that time, this one black female cop ended up shooting, and it broke her down to pieces, man. She was really mentally disturbed over there. She started, did you see that?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that was something else, man. But this fool. And then now you got the state of Illinois who's doing away with cash bond, even on somebody that kidnap a person. What kind of crazy mess is that?
That's crazy. Yeah, that's so crazy. Oh, yeah. I tell you, it's like, beam me up, Scotty. I want to go boldly where no man has gone before. Please beam me up, you know.
It is something else, man, I tell you.
They had the incident in Memphis where the jogger was murdered. Of course, it was a black person. And then some days after that, you had black male. I think he was 19 years old, shot up a bunch of people at a bar or something like that.
I tell you what, he was a rough-looking 19. I don't know if he was that young.
Yeah. Yeah, I think he was 19 years old. Yeah. And
but you know,
when they took his mugshot, he's over there smiling.
Well, they don't care. They don't care whatsoever. And see, I tell you, know the largest group that's out buying weapons and that's learning to shoot is black females. At least where I was. You go to the range, that's all you saw. And I'm proud of that. I think that women should be armed. My daughter is armed. She carries two. One that you can see and the other you can't. I hope she never had to get to that position. But women need to start carrying their weapons. Carry that weapon on your hip for it can send a message. Just think if you had 100,000 women, not just black women, but women, wearing their weapons. What kind of message would that send to these idiot legislatures, Congress people, trying to take guns away from our citizens? That's what they should do. And if that jogger had been armed, they make weapons that's very, very concealable. They can go in along with your athletic attire. She could have defended herself with using deadly force if needed.
Yeah. And it was kind of foolish of her to go out there by herself, too. I never understood why a woman would go out there in the dead of the morning by herself. I see it all the time. And if you're going to do that, you know, go with a group of people. Don't go out there by yourself. That's not too smart, you know. And that's not to downplay, you know, what happened to the young lady who got killed, Mrs. Fletcher. But you know that's not
that's a sad thing, ain't it? And you know, here's the point, man. Here's the point. And you know, we've heard of the what was that? What that incident happened? Central Park Five.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. We talk all about that. But have you heard about the Forest Park 5 in St. Louis?
It might be kind of vague to me, but it might come to me if you describe it.
He had a white man in Forest Park, which is a major park in St. Louis, and he's out walking the trail. Then you got these five young black males that do what they're going to do, try to rob him. And, you know, they killed the man. They didn't kill him. But, well, I'll tell you what, they did do some harm to him, and they got caught, mm-hmm. Nothing has happened to him. I'll try to send you that story.
Okay.
But it just goes to show you, and the news don't put that out there when it's obvious that somebody is in the wrong. That's just the way they are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yep. But anyway, on the other hand, you got a lot of young blacks that's doing the right thing, staying in school. Getting their grades. They're not causing no trouble. You got young couples that's having children, raising them right, in a Christian background, refusing to send them to government schools and spending time with them, exposing them to the things that they need to know in order to help increase their intelligence and their knowledge,
mm-hmm.
Sitting down talking to them. But it's a lot of that going on. It's getting bigger. People are starting to go to school boards meetings and demanding that this stuff that's been going on that you just only shake your head at stop. Even though they're being labeled as terrorists, like Biden claimed that MAGA supporters are terrorists.
Yeah. And then try to walk back his comments the next day.
Now, the latest thing I heard, discussion I listened to, is that this new movie coming out about Women Kings.
Oh, yeah.
With Viola Davis. And the topic was whether it's propaganda or whether it's a hero. Well, I'm saying it's both.
Yeah,
it's a she-hero for those who want to make fictional to try to raise the self-esteem for the kids or whatever. You know, when I came up, we had Wonder Woman, you had Superwoman,
mm-hmm.
You had Queen of the Jungle.
Oh, yeah.
Batwoman. You remember that?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, those fictitious characters. And they say that these here are trying to say, well, these here is about the Dahomey. I was going to ask you earlier, I think I might have sent you a message, but ask your wife about this. But this thing about black African female warriors, that is just not true.
Yeah.
And let me tell you what you had. You had slaves. And see, the word is misconstrued in the United States to fit the narrative that have been told. But slave, as it was described in those societies there, didn't necessarily mean what we have come to know it here in the United States. But if a king had slaves, captives of previous wars, he made them slaves, and they had to be subscripted into his army. And another point. If one tribe got wind that another tribe is about ready to attack them, you know what they done? They ushered the men, the women, and the children into the forest for protection. In Ghana, they ushered them into them caves for protection.
Yeah.
Now, if you kept doing that and you started running short of men, guess what? They was going to make them slaves warriors, quote-unquote, including women. And that's just what you were looking at. Then you got to also consider, too, you know, them countries dealt in slavery. One person that was on the call made mention about the warriors had Winchester rifles. Winchester rifles, Vincent, how did they get them? Well, the only way they could have got them, if they did get them, they had to sell slaves in order to acquire money to buy them.
Exactly. Oh, my goodness.
You see how easy it is to put two and two together? And I've been on that lake there in Benin. And it's a canoe lake. It's a canoe lake where they built homes up on stilts. They built their homes up on stilts. I went to a restaurant out there on the lake. And that was in order to keep slave raiders from having easy access, because you're only going to put so many people in a canoe, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Compared to if you come up on dry land and cordon them off and walk them off that way.
Yeah.
So it was a defensive measure. That's all it was. And you know damn well it wasn't no whites canoeing up to get no Ghanaians or no people like that. That was other tribes that was doing that.
Yeah. And
these people come over.
The white slave traders, they said they couldn't even last 6 weeks in the interior of Africa. They usually waited on the coast. And black slave owners, they would bring their slaves to the coast to where the white
they
people
bring
were.
Them to
the
coast.
White people, yeah, they couldn't handle that jungle. They couldn't handle them diseases and all that in the jungle. So they waited on the
coast. You're absolutely right. Here you got people that's coming out of a region of the world above the third parallel. In London, and the sun very hardly ever shines in London, right? Well,
yeah.
If they come down into these hot tropical climate areas, they're going to have a difficult time, if not a fatal time.
Yeah. Yeah, they said them rascals couldn't last 6 weeks in the interior of Africa. And we see these movies where they go into the jungle and they catch the slaves and all that and everything. They said that mess won't true.
No.
The rest won't last that long.
You stay there in Durham. What's the nearest city next to you?
Raleigh.
All right. How far?
It depends on where you travel from. Some areas it might be 10 miles, some areas it might be 20, depending on how you travel.
All right, let me ask you this question. If you kidnap and gather up and capture about 50 kids and young adults and chain them together like they were supposedly back in them days, you think you could walk to Raleigh from Durham down the highway with them kids like that? Without people along the way questioning you.
Exactly.
Wait a minute.
Nope.
It was no more than two, because the ships wasn't going to carry no 1,000 people, because it wouldn't have no room for guess who? The slaves.
Exactly.
So a crew on the ship may have been 20, if it's that many, to do the things that they need to do. All right, they couldn't come right directly up to the shore where you can step off onto dry land. So they had to anchor offshore. Then you had long boats, dugouts, that would row out two of them.
Yep.
And you could only get so many people in a dugout.
Yeah.
All right. So if you only have if you had people going up to march folks out, how in the hell are you going to march through all them damn villages and those other people is not going to do something to you? Now, remember,
exactly.
They didn't have no AK-15, the AR-15s, did they? They had single-shot muskets.
Mm-hmm.
So you mean to tell me that a group of villagers couldn't charge one man with a musket loader and kill him? The most he going to kill is what? One person.
One person, yep. Because none of their guns repeated.
No, they did not. So where in the heck, where is the logic in all this stuff?
I mean, for real. I mean, when you think about it, it you could just blow holes all in that rhetoric, you know.
Oh, hell yeah, you can. It there was no slaves in England. What did they need them for? They didn't grow no crops like that. They didn't grow no cotton.
Yeah.
When Sherman burned 12 million bales of cotton on his march to Atlanta, England stopped buying cotton from the U.S., and guess who they went to buy it from? Egypt.
Mm. Wow. See?
They went to buying it from Egypt. So just to show you how these stories run amok, like people portray it, the interior brought slaves down and sold them to African agents, and they barracooned them.
Yep.
Okay, then the ships came, and the African agents sold the slaves to the people representing the agents back here in the state, down there in the ports, in the Delta. They represented those Delta buyers, which included blacks.
Yep.
Or some buyer. So they loaded up there in Africa, brought them over. They brought them over to the Delta. They barracooned them again. And people came who wanted to buy slaves, just like you go buy a used car. That's where they went and expected what they wanted to buy.
Mm-hmm.
And it wasn't just white. Matter of fact, it was everybody that wanted them, Indians,
yep,
blacks. Because on the eve of the Civil War, less than 3% of whites had anything to do with slavery. Less than 3%.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, exactly. And you know, I forgot who it was in the 90s, because I remember hearing about this in the 90s. They said there were so many slaves that were dumped off of the ships that sharks still swim the route of,
yeah,
the slave ships.
Yeah.
They said 100 million black people were dumped off of those ships. And they said,
okay,
that
now let's do the math. Let's do the math. Give me a year back then. Give me a year
let's
back
say,
then as you think. Let's think of any year.
Let's say, I'll say 1780.
All right, 1780. So we put down 1780. And when does importation of slavery stop? In 1808?
Yeah.
That's when the United States stopped. Britain stopped it in 18, a little later, or maybe a little early. So 1808, that's 28 years. And let's just round it off and say 50 years. Okay. Now, how many slaves could you get on a ship? Let's just say 300. You could put 300 on the ship. Okay. How long did it take for a ship to get over here?
Oh, see,
they didn't have no diesel engine. It took about 3 months.
Why you got to be using logic, man? Come on, man.
Wait a minute, man.
Come
this
on,
is getting to be fun. So 3 months to get over here. Then they loaded up with other things that they was going to do to finish the triangle of leg to go to Britain in London, you know, tobacco and sugar cane and other stuff. Then that entire trip from London to Africa to here, to the Delta region and back, you're talking about a six-month journey or longer.
Yep.
All right. That's 300. And you said how many? 100 million? Do the math.
Yeah.
100 million divided by 300 is how many trips? How many ships?
Exactly.
It just don't make no sense.
Mm-hmm. And I think 100 million... Wouldn't that have decimated the population of the entire continent of Africa?
Well, not
million?
Only that. Not only that, because Africa had been dealing and selling off people for probably 1,000 years before they met anybody white.
Yeah.
Sending them to the east. Sending them to the east. So... My goodness, man, you would have got rid of a lot of bunch of people some way or another. That would have been 333,333 trips.
And you know that many trips didn't. It's impossible for that to have occurred.
That would have been 333,000 years. If it took damn near a year for one ship to make that triangle, that would have been 300, let's say it had been 300,000 years. Okay. Now, how many ships do you need to have in order to get it within the time frame? Vincent, they would still be making the trip. in 2022.
Yeah. Steel.
Mm. Where is Irondale? Is he around? Sarge, they around?
Nah, Sarge and neither one of them around. You're the only one that has called in so far.
Well, see, I'm faithful, man. I'm a faithful fruit bat. I want to keep my wings. I want to get down to the last fruit bat flies. I don't want to get down to that. Got to do something. But I think that's a shame what Illinois is doing. But they talking about they want to do something to stop systematic racism. And, you know, here's the thing that gets me. Why don't they put some punishment on the criminal when they do the things that they do that ups the level of contact with the police? When they do the things that they do, which became combative resistance. You know, if you got a job, only entity I know that ain't going to fight you back is a robot.
Yeah.
You know, you ain't going to emotionalize a robot. So if you hit a robot, robot just going to swing his arm out there and do what he got to do to you.
Exactly.
You can't blame a robot for systematic racism. Robots patrol. A robot were going to be programmed to do things in a certain way. And I think I sent you some videos of one of those combat robots.
You've been sending me so much stuff, boy. I can't even process it. I'm like, dog, this is Inforama right here.
Yeah. See, but what it does, you know, it exposes you to a whole lot of information on any particular incident. That way you can see the difference in how the news sugarcoats things rather than how it really is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it was two more stories I wanted to deal with, too. And I guess I got plenty of time. Did you see the article about the white privilege cards being handed out in a certain school? Where was this at? the reason why I'm laughing at this, because I've seen these white privilege cards before, and where was this at? It's in Oklahoma, and parents were, you know, some parents, they wanted to take their kids out of school because they were handing out these white privilege cards. And they said, you know, they got to do something about the racism because they're handing out white privilege cards. Now, I've seen these cards being sold, and two times they were being sold on black websites. One of them, I don't know if you ever heard of the Hodge twins. They're these real big bearded guys. You know, they're like in their late 40s. They might be 48, 49 years old. And they have their own podcast. They're called the Hodge Twins.
Mm-hmm.
They sell these cards. And it was a sentence here. And it was the final paragraph on this article. It says, Trump supporting parents are raising their children in hateful households, then sending them off to school with kids they were taught to disrespect. Now, I got this article off of Yahoo, but it originated at, you may have heard of this website called The Root. And The Root basically are, I guess you could say, black Ku Klux Klanners. they don't like white people. And these people call themselves journalists, and they don't do any type of journalistic investigations or anything, you know. And when I connected back to The Root, because surprisingly, I got a membership there.
With The Root?
I come over there. Yeah, and I cause a little trouble every now and then. I cause a little trouble every now and then. And I found this other interesting article. I said, oh, my goodness, I need to come to the Root more often so I can, you know. It says L.A. Elementary School sued over cotton picking project.
Yeah.
And apparently.
Yeah, I've seen that.
This girl, she didn't participate in the cotton picking. But her parents said she was so traumatized and, oh, my gosh, she's having nightmares because they took her on a field. And now the teacher was trying to show them the conditions that slaves worked in. She wasn't trying to be racist or anything. She said, now you can get a taste of what the slaves had to go through when they were picking cotton. But it's a racist thing, you know. It's racist. It's racist to pick cotton.
And
they're
going
to
say
know,
that
so
they did get paid, too. Did you know that?
Yeah. So.
And the first thing
I'm
is
like,
this. How do they know? How do you know that they can get paid? And then, too, we hear these stories about the kind and gentle that they saved up. They went and bought their loved ones. Well, where'd you get the money to do that?
That's quite interesting.
Did you rob a bank? Did you do a Jesse James and Billy the Kid stunt? Did you rob a bank, slave?
I mean, for real.
You know, some slaves had their own business.
Certainly did.
So people that say that they didn't get paid, well, how are you going to prove that? Like on Bill in the White House.
Yeah.
Listen, slaves didn't build no White House. They might have worked on it, but they might have got, they probably got paid.
Yeah, probably did. And, George Washington, when his father died, he inherited his father's slaves. George Washington actually paid his slaves. He gave them a little something.
Yeah.
I think they don't tell you that in history books, but he actually paid his slaves. And he said when he died, he gave instructions to his wife to free all of his slaves.
Oh, absolutely he did.
They don't tell you that in the history books.
No, they don't. They don't tell you about those things. And it's a shame because that is something that young people need to know about. They won't tell them about everything else. They tell the story one-sided.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where the problem lies. Where's your guy, Brittany?
Brittany?
Mm-hmm. Griner.
Oh.
How's he doing?
I have no idea.
I thought y'all wrote each other. I don't know.
I tell you. I was hoping I would see Nas on here again, you know, because I was like, even though I kicked him off last week, I was like, he's welcome to come on the show, just, you know, show a little respect. And I was hoping he'd come on here because I think I was going to loosen my rules up just for him, so he could dig his own grave.
I've been going back and forth with him for a long time. Not in a long time, but he's all right, but he comes up with a bunch of nonsense sometimes.
Yeah.
That's the same stuff to like to keep people in a certain mode of thinking. But you know, in 1815, during the 1812 war, you know, there was a lot of blacks that was free fighting for the British. They called them Americans. I don't know if you knew about them. Yeah, and they went to Trinidad when they left here. And encouraged to join the British fighting forces. They were offered freedom by Lord Dunmore. See, when they say that Lincoln freed the slave, that's not true. He wasn't the first one. Well, he didn't free no slaves anyway. But Lord Dunmore done the same thing.
No.
Yes, sir. And you have go ahead.
I think the United States is the only country that had to fight a war to free the slaves. The other countries, they freed them without firing a shot.
Well, the war really wasn't about freeing the slaves. It was about what it was about, where you had 300 some odd thousand white men and boys who gave their life, and those men and boys, the wives and mothers had to fend for themselves when they didn't have that husband there, so they suffered, and their lives was changed. They wasn't allowed to prosper as they probably could have. When they were going to pay their reparations? Do the descendants, blacks, did they owe their reparations?
See, there you go using that logic again, man. What? Look, you need to stop using that logic because people are going to start finding out the truth.
Yeah, I mean, you got to think about it. The white man, 300 and some odd thousand. Yes. And you had blacks who fought for the Confederacy that killed some of them. Yeah.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And keep in mind, the largest race riot in, I think, this country's history, didn't happen in the South. It happened in New York City, the draft riots.
Yeah, the draft riots with the Irish.
Yep.
Because of that, you know, the Irish, it was called St. Patrick's Brigade. They left New York and walked down there to help Mexico fight the U.S. during the Mexican-American War. Irish Brigade. They call
it. I tell people, history is the stain you can't wash out of the fabric of time.
No, you cannot. You can use Mr. Clean, bleach, and everything else.
I tell you, you can't wash it out. I mean, and it's
Germany
right there.
Germany was supplying Germany was supplying the Mexicans with weapons. In the Civil War, Russia put up a blockade to keep British ships from coming in supplying the Confederates. And we wanted to keep Putin's ass. Namibia, during they fight with, help fight off apartheid, and the Boers, you know, Boers was meant with Germans and Dutch. That meant peace. It meant farmer or something like that. But it was Russians that helped, that trained Namibian troops, Namibian soldiers, that helped South Africa fight the apartheid. Guess who was on the ground helping to lead the training of Namibian troops so they could help South Africa fight off the apartheid? Guess who it was? Vladimir Putin. Putin. Yes,
so,
sir.
Hold up. You mean to tell me that Vladimir Putin helped to overturn apartheid in South Africa?
He was helping train the Namibian soldiers. Yes, he did.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's pictures of it.
Wow. Now, how ironic is that?
I thought everybody knew that.
I didn't know that. I did not know that.
Israel gave apartheid weapons.
Really?
Yes,
they did. See, I'm feeling a little ashamed that I don't know this, but, you know, you don't know everything, so.
So that's the way it goes. It's about permanent interest. Not permanent friend.
Yeah.
About human beings doing things. That's what it's about. Like that professor.
So they have an investment.
Like that professor was saying all those disparaging things about the queen. And I responded and say, well, you know, you Yoruba and you Igbo fought some heck of a wars. And the whole idea that white men would take the black woman's belly that was pregnant and cut her belly and the baby fall out, that wasn't white men that started that. That started with the Yoruba cutting the Igbo pregnant woman. And when the baby fell out, the Igbo, the Yoruba black soldiers, stomped it to death. Then they took some kids, held them by the ankle, and smashed them up against rocks. Then they took some kids, some toddlers, and threw them up in the air and let them come down and be impaled on a spear. Whites wasn't fighting that war. It was black faces against black faces.
But yet and still, we hear people talk about, you know, white people have committed the most atrocities in world history, and they're the barbarians, and, you know, and they made victims of all the other races, and they're the ones that cause everything.
human beings. The Vikings enslaved whites. The Gauls, Gauls became France. There wasn't nobody over there calling themselves Europeans. That's a made-up application of a word. Like we try to call all people that's non-white black here and try to lump them into a group, a cohesive group, African-American. Don't nobody do that.
Yeah.
Blacks is just as different than those up in Seattle, Washington, compared to those down in Florida. Those up there in Boston compared to those down here in the South. Those in Chicago compared to those in St. Louis. They different. They are not the same.
Yeah, exactly. You know, and one thing we all have to understand is you got your good and bad in every race in this world. You know, good and bad is in everyone, and people to continue to propagate that victimhood mentality. You always got to point your finger at one. You know.
Yeah.
We got good and bad in everyone. You know, they make it sound like that we black people are just a bunch of innocent people, you know, skipping to our grandmother's houses with a box of goodies in our hands and everything, and then these evil white people just come out of the trees, descend on us and take everything that we have. And anyone with two brain cells can tell you that's not the case.
That's just what they don't have is two brain cells.
Exactly.
And a lot of young people is staying away. My grandson, LSU and Southern is playing today. You know, Southern is going to get paid because LSU is going to draw the crowd. But he said he ain't going. He said they're going to be getting drunk, and one thing lead to another, and bullets will be flying like it was down with in New Orleans where that grandmother got killed by a stray bullet.
Yeah.
It ain't the people, it's the behavior. Young people get wise and staying away from that stuff. Why would you risk your health, your safety, your life to be around somebody caught up into that?
Yeah.
But anyway, you about ready to cut off the air.
Yeah, and I am surprised that you are the only one that showed up today. I'm going to have to strangle a couple of people. But it's always something to talk about in this day and age. I mean, even though I tried to do my best to do so, I try to prepare for a show. You really don't have to prepare for a show. You can say, you know what?
Show find you.
Going to show. Yeah, I tell you. Just wing it, play it by ear. Shoot. You can do a two-hour show just by winging it.
All right, well, you have a pleasant rest of the weekend, and safety and love to you and your wife. I'll talk to you later.
All right. Thank you, Bianchi.
All right.
Well, folks, that is our show for today. God willing, I should have another show next week. We'll continue on, you know, our journey explaining Korean events and everything on this program. And just to let you all know, I don't know when my podcast is coming out, but I'm hoping it will come out before the end of this year. Still trying to prepare for that and everything. And I'll, you know, keep you all posted about that. But anyway, you all have a good week. Enjoy yourselves. Stay safe out there. This is Vincent E. Brown. I am signing off. And until the next time, I'll see you on the rebound. Y'all enjoy your week. Yeah, what are you going to do now? I didn't think you heard me. Smoking and drinking to do to you.
Thank you.
that girl killed him. Dog.
So he came to kill her.
Mm-hmm.
Good. Goodness. Look at the guy he got.
You okay?
What?
No one's coming.
I wasn't looking over my shoulder. I'm going to be honest with you. I am not a fan of Europe. I'm not a fan of Europe, but I'd be doggone if some of those are some of the nicest looking cities I think I ever seen in my life.
Where did you go to today for the water?
I'll tell you if you tell me about Vespa.
Is that why we're here?
To bury the dear Crooklyn.
I know where she's buried.
Do you forgive her?
I left it behind a long time ago.
The son of the looking at the children has not dead. You have to let her go, even if it's hard.
You mean your way to have a future?
Mm-hmm.
So I do this, and then...
I tell you my secret.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? Like the sesame seed?
Oh, you're talking about the mortar and pistol?
Yeah, the mortar and pistol.
Well, you got it. He's speaking Italian.
So he's speaking Spanish.
No, he's speaking Italian.
He's speaking, Spanish.
No, he's speaking Italian.
Oh, Italian. Oh, okay. It's called Italian?
Mm-hmm. Italian sounds close to Spanish, though.
Yeah.
I miss you.
You haven't seen that, eh?
Mm-hmm.
This is the last...
Yep. I didn't know it was for free on Amazon.
Huh?
I didn't know it was for free on Amazon.
Oh, it's free on Amazon? I saw it on Amazon.
Ooh.
Oh, God damn it, that's where the girl is.
Remember the girl that got killed in the first James Bond movie?
Uh-huh.
That's supposedly her grave. Oh. Something happened, an explosion.
You kill him. His eardrum is destroyed.
She probably got killed too.
I think you're right.
that kid knew something? I'm not sure.
I'm thinking that girl probably be going, you see the guy that
jumped, get her out of there,
thinking,
the water,
I'm thinking,
she is
part of it.
She's
working, but I
got her.
I
think her
water. What do you think?
I don't know. She's a daughter of Spectre.
God, I have that.
She's a daughter girl. The girl he was with.
Yeah, I said, you remember the guy that sent her from that?
I don't know about all that.
Ice thingy?
I thought he was trying to kill her.
He saved her, and she's working for him.
Why did your daughter
be down,
Mr. Bond?
As
your wife requested. Oh! Wife. All right. Letting go
is hard. James, what happened? What happened?
How did they know I was here?
What
is that? How did they know I was here? Spectre, how did they know?
Oh, it was a woman.
Thank you.
on her.
I just wanted to see the first part of it. They ain't even gotten to the introduction yet.
Not at all.
Hey, listen.
Hey, that's a Range Rover.
The one I hit them?
Yep.
Wow.
He just hurt. I thought he killed that guy. Sure about that.
You don't think so?
Mm-mm. For some reason, I think she's a main player in this movie.
I said she.
That's what I'm saying.
Oh, you think she's a main player?
I think she's a main player. I think she's a main character. Oh, there's the introduction.
Finally, huh?
Mm-hmm.
It took that long.
Nope. Years later.
Well, how many years? Oh, so they broke up, huh?
Yes.
She broke up. He broke up with that lady that she.
Now, when you finish, I'll go to the other movie.
Okay. This is good, awesome.
Yeah, tomorrow is a good movie. Yeah, it is.
Thank you.
security level 4 fridge.
And,
give me the weapon.
The what weapon we have is...
Airlock.
It requires double authentication.
Which one?
What's the Heresy Project? This lab isn't on the book.
You look familiar.
Who is that guy? You look familiar.
You look familiar to me.
It was a gas leak.
Yeah.
It was a gas leak. I'll handle it. Money, Penny. Where's 007?
Your fish.
Where?
Two red snappers.
Where?
You were watching you this thing.
This thing is big.
It gets bigger than that.
It gets bigger than that?
Yep.
You know, somebody was standing right there. Man, that thing is big. You know what? I try to tell you the bottom of the fish strangling you.
Thank you.
looked like it.
Okay.
first time I didn't take off.
Yeah. You seem like
a man
who...
I hate it. It's
a match. Do we cut
to the chase? I'm here as a professional test. Well, you're not going to curse this, are you? You've broken my card. Just come on, Bob. Mm-hmm. Hello?
Yes.
Very young.
Actually,
yes. Hello?
I've gone since you retired, Commander
Warren. How did you notice? No, nope.
Not in my opinion. Well, it doesn't change very much. Yeah, I'd say that. This all seems fantastic. This little bubble, whatever. Just so obvious. You're a man who... You have time to kill. Nothing to live for. The battle of Opera Chess is off limits.
You need to ask us not a few more questions. MI6, CIA chasing after the same man, not communicating with each other. That's not good either. You know what? Tell Anne hello, but I don't work for him anymore.
Tell him so. By the way, I'm not just any old double O. I'm double O seven. You probably thought they were trying to hide
it. It's just a number.
Huh. Yeah. Do you want
to? How's it going, Q? Well, several large files seem to have been wiped from other chest hard drive. He was working on some pretty advanced algorithms.
Can you retrieve the files?
Fine.
Give me everything you can and then destroy the drone.
Tell me more about what this was. I could
thank you, Q. That's all. Yeah, I was calling you. That was 7. That was 7.
Yeah, darling. Come with me.
Oh.
I met your new 007.
See the disarming young woman?
Stay out of it. This has nothing to do with you.
Yes. You know
that? Expect
it. Remember taking
Valerie. What have you done?
Remember
taking? Mm-hmm. He's a guy. A blow trouble. CIA has the advantage. Give me a blow
for me. Sir? Yes, this was by cartridge.
I know, but live feet what I want.
Oh, we met.
He's off everywhere. Now there's a bag of bees. Good. What is it? It's nothing.
See them now.
I forget things when I get there. This is the biggest job ever.
That's her right there?
That's his contact. But the other girl, she's there.
It's your room?
Don't you think we want to get to know each other just a little bit before we,
Oh, no, 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 I'm sorry.
All right.
You do it.
Thank you. Do you mind,
This boy's a woman.
Anyway.
I know. I've done 3 weeks training.
A new future for Spectre. No, it is very
experience of delight and surprise. separate humanity with our own power.
I'm sorry.
I need a
Russian scientist.
You got it?
I'm here.
What the hell?
Here they are. Stay with it. But I see you from a lie. From a lie says hi. Now see. Now. Now he emerges from the shadows as gods and cult of Olympus. He is the end of our pariah. My partner. My brother. Lena. James Bond. Goodbye, James. You can't run. It's too late. It's already crawling under your skin. Don't be alarmed. It's harmless to us. Just to him. Don't be alarmed.
Hello. You work for my
Mother!
Oh, no.
I'm gonna borrow your plane. Sorry.
At least make it look hard.
Thanks, Felix. You won't be into a trap, then.
A trap?
Spectre's dead. It. Who's dead? All of them. Good.
What is this? Explain this to me.
I don't have the words to describe to someone like that.
We'll try one.
He's
perfect.
A perfect what?
What?
At that?
Thank you, Father. Your mission's done.
Why didn't it kill
you
me?
You don't have to answer this question. Bond, why Spectre?
Bond,
please stop asking this
question.
Quiet! Speak up.
Because you were never the intended target.
He was the target? Why?
I changed the DNA like we decided. Now the plan is complete.
So, who is we is not allowed
he's
to answer
you know this.
He is out of line here. He has ordered you to kill Spectre.
Don't answer that.
He's M behind me.
He is out of line.
Phoenix, ass is shaking your mouth.
Emma helped me build a tool. He does not have a vision.
Well, who does? Who does?
Blofeld? How did he know I was going to be then?
Doctor,
this might be my last mission with you, eh? I'm just looking for an excuse not to help me. Along with you giving me a cigar, I can do this. Look into your eyes.
Then maybe you should hold on to that for now.
You just stay put.
Keep the pressure on that man. I'm going to find us a way out.
I'll be over here. You know, Phoenix, we really need to stop meeting.
Mm-hmm.